I'm Karen Hartglass, your host of It's All About Food. It's Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, and it's Pancake Day. I would love to have pancakes today, but that's not going to happen. My partner Gary DiMattei and I have been away from home for 2 months. We are directing a production of the musical Fiddler on the Roof, and it opens this Thursday. We are staying in a relative's pool house, which is quite comfortable, but not the ideal place for pancake making. I plan on celebrating Pancake Day in a couple of weeks when we are back home in New York. But we have many wonderful pancake recipes at the Responsible Eating and Living website for you to try. Just go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, click on the recipes nav bar, and select the index tab. Then scroll down to the pancakes, crepes, and waffles category. Our recipes are vegan and gluten-free and totally yummy. Try some and let me know what you think. Now, for some reason, the sweetener stevia has been coming up a lot in conversation and also in articles that I've been reading. A few years ago, I interviewed the man who brought stevia to the United States, Sweetleaf founder Jim May. His story is fascinating. The interview is one of my all-time favorites, so I thought I would rebroadcast it for you today because I think it's very timely. I learned a lot from that show, including how to pronounce the word. Most of us say stevia with a long E, but Jim told me it's pronounced stevia with a short E. However you say it, the stevia story is amazing. Personally, I rarely use stevia, and I am not telling everyone to go out and use it all the time. It can be beneficial, especially for people who consume a lot of sugary foods. Stevia is GRAS, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe, and numerous studies report this. There have been some concerns based on a study on rats, but further investigation has shown that stevia and its derivatives used in sweeteners are not genotoxic. My favorite doctor, Dr. Furman, says that, quote, healthier sweeteners like stevia only serve to feed sugar addiction, and he does not recommend them. While I'm on the subject of sugar addiction for a moment, I just want to let you know that I am thrilled to be bringing back on the program Susan Thompson next week. I interviewed her back in October of 2014 when she was preparing to launch her Brightline Eating program. I was so impressed back then with her knowledge and really curious about the program. And once she launched the program, it became a huge success. And she has a new book out that was released yesterday. And we'll be talking about the book and her program on It's All About Food, Tuesday, March 7th. If you have any questions that you would like to ask Dr. Thompson, you can email me at info@realmeals.org before next week, and I will ask them for you. Or you can call into the program and ask her yourself. Now back to stevia. What I love about my interview with Jim May was learning about what it took to get stevia approved in the United States and the politics and influence of the people in power behind it. You will hear about how politicians kept the truth from the public, distorted the truth, lied, all for their own personal financial gain. Fake news, alternative facts, lying, corruption, it's not a new phenomenon. Since stevia has been approved and become more popular, the big food corporations have been capitalizing on it, putting stevia derivatives in products while growing the plant in unsustainable ways and exploiting the farmers who grow it. Every food has its story, and this interview is stevia's story. Jim also talks about yerba mate, one of my favorite hot beverages. Here is my interview with Jim May.
I'm really looking forward to talking with our guest, Jim May. He's the founder and president of Sweetleaf Stevia Sweetener. And originally learning from the natives of Paraguay, he is now a recognized authority on several South American herbs. He introduced stevia, yerba mate, and other health-conscious herbal products to the U.S. in 1982 and is considered one of the world's foremost authorities on these herbs. Sweetleaf brand stevia products are the clear category leader in the U.S. and he has previously held positions as Vice President of United Healthcare Association and President of the United Dialysis Services. Jim has participated in numerous professional organizations and activities, including Director of the Artificial Organs and Transplant Program at Good Samaritan Hospital in Phoenix, Executive Director and member of the Board of Directors of the Arizona Kidney Foundation, and Consultant to the Chief of the Government's End-Stage Renal Disease Program in Washington, D.C. Jim, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be on your program, and I'm not sure where you got all that information. It's all correct, but I don't know where you
I'll
got
tell you,
it all.
I got it from the Sweetly Stevia website.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I guess I better go look and see what they're saying about me.
Oh, sure. It's they've got a great page on you, and I recommend people going to sweetleaf.com. Lots of great information there, especially information on Jim. Or James A. May. Okay,
Jim,
so
fine.
I have a feeling you have a lot of wonderful stories involved because to tell us today. Stevia has had an interesting history here in the United States, almost like a conspiracy problem in the beginning, trying to get it approved in this country.
Well, you're absolutely correct. It is conspiracy story.
Let's start and tell us how you discovered stevia.
Well, I was first introduced to stevia, and I will always be saying stevia. That's really the correct pronunciation.
Oh.
It was named after Peter James Esteve, who was a Spanish botanist who died in 1566, who was highly respected by the man in Paraguay who really started promoting stevia back in 1899. And we can come back to that. But I was introduced to it through a Peace Corps worker who had returned from Paraguay to the United States, and a mutual friend introduced us. And originally, he was making what I thought were absolutely absurd claims about a group of three rainforest herbs that the Guarani people would blend together and make a tea, which he claimed would cure, quote-unquote, colds and flu in one day. And, you know, that just sounded absurd after 15 years in the medical industry. And,
right.
And I said, no, that's not possible. Now, turns out he's right. It does work. And
wow.
Something I've used for 28 years. And we do market it under the brand name Simfree. But interestingly, one of the herbs was stevia, which I didn't know for quite some time. But anyway, I wouldn't listen to him on this cold and flu cure, so finally he opened his briefcase and pulled out some little green leaves, and he and our mutual friend put them in their mouths and offered me one, and I said, no, I'm not putting leaves in Paraguay in my mouth. I don't know what those are. Anyway, they coaxed and finally got me to just put one to my lip, and it was sweet and delicious, and so I finally put it in my mouth, and the longer I held it in the mouth, the sweeter it became. It was just wonderful and freshens the breath, and it's just, you know. So I got interested in it, and once he had me, I guess, hooked, he pulled some science out of his briefcase. He had gathered data from Japan, and interestingly, by 1982, Japan, the Ministry of Health, had already approved it as a sweetener in the mid-70s. It was in 40%, or let me rephrase that, it enjoyed a 40% share of the sweetener market in the commercial industry in Japan. It was in everything.
Wow. In the 1970s.
Yes, and this was, of course, 82 then, when I read the data, and I thought,
yeah,
goodness,
okay.
this is incredible.
Yeah.
So I that night, I gave him a check for our life savings to go back to Paraguay and send me stevia leaves. I was so naive, I thought, surely I can find some wealthy individual or a company that can see the vision of what this has potentially. But I was 15 years too soon. My wife was not thrilled when I told her she couldn't write any checks if we had no money left. But anyway, that was the beginning of my love affair with stevia. And stevia is just wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you told me how to pronounce it, and I will never say stevia again. It's stevia.
Well,
age.
Many people do, you know. It's like tomato, tomato, potato, potato. We all know what we're talking about.
Right. Okay, so here's... So first, people understand that this is a product that is a natural sweetener. It has no calories.
That's correct. Stevia and has no calories, glycemic index is zero, no carbs, but the leaves themselves contain 100 nutrients. They're extraordinarily beneficial to the human body.
So it sounds like this ideal, crazy, wonderful product, and yet, so let's get to the next part of the story. You tried to introduce it in the United States, and what happened?
Well, the first thing I did was I went to the regional office of the FDA and told them that I wanted to bring Stevia to the United States. This is after I'd been to Paraguay and I did, you know, learn more about it. And anyway, they said, oh, Mr. May, we know all about Stevia. It's perfectly safe. You have no problems. Go ahead. And so I began bringing it in its leaf form and made products that were just pure Stevia leaf in tea bags, and I blended into with yerba mate that I also introduced to America in 1982 and some other healing tea products under our Wisdom of the Ancients brand name, and began marketing them. And I also was marketing a Stevia extract, which is made simply by cooking Stevia leaves in water. And so you get all the nutrients. Yeah, the water is a little thick, has a licorice sweet taste to it. Anyway, the FDA thought that was just fine. Then, a little later, Vegetarian Times magazine wrote a little article about me, two paragraphs, in bringing Stevia to the United States and the success I was having. Well, by that time, Donald Rumsfeld, who had expected to be Reagan's choice for Vice President of the United States, but had been denied that position, had been appointed president of GD Cereal Company. It's a drug company that had invented aspartame in 1965.
Boo!
Oh, yes, yes. Had been trying to get it approved as a sweetener from 65 to about 1980, had failed. The then commissioner of the FDA would not allow it. The Senate was actually holding hearings on the harm of it and how it caused brain tumors and all kinds of things. Rumsfeld was given the assignment to use his political influence and get it approved. Well, wow. He had just done that, and here I come with Stevia. Now, Rumsfeld knew what Stevia was doing in Japan, so he sent his entire staff of lawyers to the FDA demanding that James May be stopped from bringing Stevia into America and that Stevia be banned. And so that's what happened.
That's fascinating.
It's a fascinating story. It was a trying time, I'll tell you. But I did figure out ways that I could legally continue to market Stevia as an ingredient in my various herbal teas. And I discovered that the FDA didn't care if Stevia was used for skin care. So I changed the label on this concentrate. And by the way, Stevia is wonderful for skin care. I'd learned about that from the Guarani Indian people and had some experience with it and simply sold it for skincare properties. And somewhere along the line, as I'd give lectures and so forth, somebody would say, well, can it be taken internally? And I'd say, no, not if you live in the United States. However, if you lived in Japan, or if you lived in Paraguay or Brazil or Argentina or, you know, name the countries where it was fine, then you could take it internally. But in the United States, the FDA doesn't allow it. And people
say, well, it's really interesting to hear about how Donald Rumsfeld has done one more evil thing to all of us.
Yes,
that we didn't
right.
know about.
And
he certainly had a lot of power and changed our lives for the worst in so many ways when he was involved in the Bush administration.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, I don't think many people know that, you know, he was involved in this, and who knows what else he was involved with. It's kind of scary.
I guess that's the truth. Anyway, what I did then was continue to sell the concentrate for skin care and the leaves and so forth, which nobody really cared about. Then, of course, in 91, the FDA gave a total ban on Stevia.
Right.
But simply didn't do anything about.
Based on what?
Rumsfeld not wanting it in the United States.
But what did they say? What did they use as a reason?
Just that there was not enough science to determine that it was safe. And the reality is there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents. In fact, by 2000, the year 2000, there were more than 1,000 published studies on the safety of stevia. Anyway, what I did in 1993, I went back to Washington. I just gotten fed up with it.
Yeah.
And met with several congressmen, and I convinced them that this was not a safety issue. It was a restraint of trade. And these congressmen agreed with me. And they wrote letters to the FDA about it and got nasty letters back. And anyway, the next year, 1994, is when Congress passed the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, which then allowed stevia to be sold as a dietary supplement. So we continued to sell stevia then as a dietary supplement. But, of course, the FDA forbade us to inform the consumer that it tasted sweet or that it would improve the flavor of other foods and beverages. Are you there?
Yes, yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay.
It happens sometimes. You just hit the phone the wrong way and everything is crazy, but I'm here.
Well, I heard a click and I thought, well, maybe somehow I got cut off. Anyway, we continued to market as a dietary supplement, and other companies then began to market stevia products as dietary supplements. And then the next thing I did was in 2007. The FDA had changed their regulations, and they were so swamped with what's called GRAS approvals, which is generally recognized as safe, that they made a new regulation that a large company could have their own staff of scientists do the research and submit data to the FDA declaring a product to be safe. Or a small company like myself could hire outside scientists to do all the research, and then if they determined the product was safe according to strict scientific rules and research, then you could have what's called a self-affirmed GRAS statement. And so I hired two separate groups of scientists who, what they did is determine GRAS status for the FDA. And they both did the research. It took a year for both of them to complete their research, and how we, by then, were making our stevia extract with using nothing but purified water, no chemicals, no alcohols, no methanol, no ethanol, which everyone else uses. And so when they saw all this data, on March 5th of 2008, I received the documents that sweet leaf stevia was GRAS. And so we could change all of our boxes and so forth, and we entered the market then in June as the first legal stevia sweetener to be marketed in the United States.
Wow.
So since then, of course, it's just been a battle because, as you know, Cargill has come out to compete with us with their Truvia product and Marisot with their Purvia product. What's fascinating is their products only have less than 1% of stevia in them. The rest is other sweeteners.
Right. Oh, gosh.
But they have lots of money, so it's a
hard
job competing.
Of course. It's interesting. I remember reading about 80 pages of testimony for the aspartame approval. And, you know, I don't think many people read this stuff. My sister's a lawyer, and she got a hold of it for me. And I was just amazed reading it about all the arguments against approving it, about all the health issues, especially with the dosage and with respect to children, which hadn't been tested. And, of course, children today drink lots of diet soda and get much higher quantities than were talked about for adults in
That's
these
correct.
Studies.
Yeah.
And the smaller doses did not show very positive results. And so I was one of these things where I'm pulling my hair out while I'm reading this, because I had already known, this was years later, that the product had been approved and was in everything. Okay.
That's true. And it's,
well,
just,
we talk about that here, and hopefully those people that want to know the truth and get educated will be listening and do the best for themselves and for their families.
And they can find a lot of information on aspartame and its harmful effects. Of interest, just very, very quickly, aspartame was developed in 1965 by the G.D. Searle Drug Company to be a prescription-only drug for pimples. Then when the researcher happened to accidentally taste it and it was sweet, that's when they started trying to get it approved as a sweetener. So here you have a prescription-only drug that's now in everything.
Right.
It's dangerous.
And it is in everything. Yeah. I often tell people that are using aspartame or other artificial sweeteners in their coffee or their tea, I always say use the sugar instead. You know, sugar is nowhere near as bad as aspartame. And, of course, they should also check out stevia, and I encourage people to do that. Okay, so now let's just talk for a moment. There has been some press that there are some dangers to stevia.
Well, that's only because the people who write the articles don't bother to actually read the studies.
Yeah,
they
I'm familiar with that.
They just quote each other. Virtually, there were some negative studies released in the early days, back in the 60s and the 70s. They've all been refuted by independent scientific laboratories who say they cannot get the same results, negative results, when they duplicate the so-called study.
It just
doesn't exist. But all these little things get quoted because the opponents to stevia want that information out. For instance, people are always saying, well, it's a natural contraceptive. Well, if this were a contraceptive, it would be sold by every drug company in the world. It just is not. What these two so-called scientists did, they had heard that there was a tribe of Indians in Paraguay called the Mato Grosso, and that when the women would make a concoction with stevia leaves and drink it, that they would not be able to conceive for 2 months.
Okay.
So the whole thing is a myth. But anyway, one of these scientists then went to Paraguay and began searching for the Mato Grosso. Well, they couldn't find them, and that's because they never existed. It's a myth.
Right.
So anyway, because they couldn't find them, they found that there was still a remote tribe of natives living in the rainforest in Argentina. They found that this tribe did have a totally different plant that they made a liquid concoction from and drank it, but it was for a totally different purpose. So they decided to use their formulation. Well, they made it and they fed it to the female rats for a period of 6 weeks. Then they allowed the male rats to come in with them. The only 25% of the female rats conceived, so they decided, oh, it's a natural contraceptive. Well, in 2002 and 3, I was writing a book on stevia, and I was studying all the negative research, and I read that, and I thought, that just doesn't make sense. I've got to find out what it is, because I had had several women work for me by then using stevia, and they all got pregnant from their husbands. Japan is not without population, where they've been using it for 40 years. So anyway, I followed their formulation to equal the amount of stevia they fed these rats. I had to use 15 tea bags. Now, one tea bag will sweeten anywhere from 2 to 6 cups of liquid, depending on what it is. I'm sorry, I had to use 12 tea bags in 1 1/4 cup of water. Boiled so I had to boil these 12 tea bags in 1 1/4 cup of water for 15 minutes. to get the concoction that they developed. Well, I did that, and I took a taste of it. Oh, it was awful. Awful.
Of course.
And, you know, it's just too strong. So I thought, I can't drink this. Well, I went back and started continue writing my book. And then I thought, no, I have to know. So I went in and drank it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this was to my body weight compared with the body weight of rats. Oh, Karen, I was so sick.
Mm.
I mean, nauseous, pounding headache. I hurt
wow.
everywhere. My eyes hurt. My throat hurt. My ears hurt.
Mm.
I know why those female rats didn't conceive.
They didn't feel
you
good.
Know. Oh, no. It wasn't just no thanks headache. You know, they were sick. Well,
yeah.
They were fed this stuff as their only liquid for 60.
Oh.
I mean, those. I feel sorry for those poor rats.
Yeah.
You know, this thing had nothing to do with real science. And
right.
if you were a sixth grade science teacher and you had students turn in this, you'd flunk them because it's not scientific.
Well, of course, even still, I'm always very wary of the results on animals compared to the results on humans because they don't always correlate.
No, they don't. But also, people don't realize that scientists also are out there to be paid by whoever has employed them and to make sure,
yes.
often they make sure they come up with results that the payer wants them to come up with. And you
Which
can
is
always
a very,
manipulate
very sad
a study.
Statement. That's
yeah.
a very sad statement, but it's
it
true.
Is sad, but it's true. So,
you want to believe that science equates to truth, but unfortunately most experiments can be skewed.
They really can be. Well, just look at the tobacco scientists who for years said tobacco.
Oh, right.
Fine, it's harmful, it's good for you, smoke. And
yeah,
of course,
doctors
they
used
knew
to say
they
that,
knew.
Too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you don't believe something simply because one study is published and makes a claim. It needs to be duplicated. Science means that you can follow the same procedure and get the same results every time. And that's the scientific
okay.
method.
So
anyway,
yes.
next question.
Next question. Stevia comes in liquid, and it comes as what forms? How can you use it?
Well, in numerous forms, of course. We've mentioned the leaves, and of course we have stevia tea, which is ground leaves in tea bags, which are wonderful. In fact, if a person has an upset stomach, you take one tea bag and 8 or 10 ounces of hot water and let it steep for a while and drink it. It really soothes the stomach. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because stevia, in all of its forms, the harmful bacteria love it because it's so sweet, especially oral bacteria, the kind that causes upset stomachs in this, you know, when you eat bad food. They eat it, but they can't digest it, and so they starve to death. It's the wrong chain for their systems to be able to digest, but good bacteria can digest it just fine. So it's an amazing leaf. Anyway, so there's that. There's this concentrate I talked about, which is wonderful both internally and topically on the skin. It's wonderfully healing. Then what we have done... I had some scientists come to me in 2007 from South America who were experts in water extraction. Now, up to this time, and with every other company, they do their extraction of the glycosides, which are these sweet components in the leaves, with various chemicals and methanol and ethanol. These gentlemen said, we believe that we can develop a process that uses nothing but purified water. Will you work with us? So we've been working together now for 3 years, but by 08, we knew we had the process, and that's when I started really getting this approval as a sweetener. Anyway, we do our total extraction of the glycosides out of the leaf with nothing but purified water. And we end up with a sweetener that's 300 times sweeter than sugar. It's just a blend of several of these sweet glycosides. And it's delicious. Too sweet for human consumption, direct. And so what we started doing, we, of course, blend that with inulin. And inulin is a natural soluble fiber that is also a prebiotic. So inulin is the primary food supply of the good intestinal bacteria, which then nourish them and improves your health and well-being. So we blend our stevia extract with inulin, and that's what we sell in our little packets and also in little jars so people can just sprinkle it over their foods like they would sugar or anything else. And each of our little packets replaces 2 teaspoons of sugar. So in those forms, it's easily available, delicious, and really good for you. Then we also developed the liquid forms. And with that, we simply took our extract and we blend it in water, purified water. And it gives you a very delicious sweetener that you can use just drop by drop. And then we thought, what would that be like now if we added natural flavors? So we tried vanilla and root beer and orange and grape and English toffee, and we now have 13 flavors that are just incredibly delicious. And young people absolutely love them. And the wonderful thing about this, everybody knows that soda pop is harmful. No matter what the manufacturers tell you, it's harmful. We've had health food stores do blind taste tests where they've taken our root beer flavored stevia and put it in seltzer water, blindfolding every customer that comes in, have them taste that, and have them taste a real root beer. And they said that 100% of their customers select sweet leaf stevia sweetener as the best tasting root beer.
Well, man, that sounds like a great commercial.
Yeah, well, it really is. And kids love it. They just can't believe how good it tastes.
I've really been fascinated with the last half hour, and I know that you've got a lot more interesting things to tell us. So one of the things is that the stevia leaf came from the rainforest?
Let me go back to hundreds of years. It was originally found on the edges of the rainforest in Paraguay by the Guarani Indians, who were the original inhabitants of Paraguay. And they began to use it to sweeten their yerba mate. Yerba mate is extraordinarily nutritious and good for the human body, but it's bitter. But when you put stevia leaves in it, it just tastes wonderful. And so they have used that for centuries, and also discovered that when they make this liquid concentrate just by cooking the leaves, it's extraordinarily healing to the human body internally and on the skin.
What I want to say about discovering things around the rainforest is that there are probably hundreds of thousands more products that are in the rainforest that can be beneficial to us, and yet day by day we're plowing all of those magical, wonderful plant species away for very unfortunate reasons.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I have a feeling
filled with healing plants.
It's like a magical Garden of Eden, and all the sweet mysteries of life are hidden there and are there for us to discover, and we destroy them for so many unfortunate reasons, to grow soybeans, to feed cattle, to feed people, which is very damaging on the planet for so many reasons. And where is stevia? Do you get it now from outside the United States? Is it ever grown in the United States?
There are experiments, people trying to grow it here. However, our agriculture techniques are too expensive. It just costs too much here. Let me go back a little bit. Stevia, of course, was found in Paraguay as it became more and more popular among the people over the centuries, and by the 1500s and the 1600s it had been taken into Brazil and Argentina and other countries where all of the natives began to use it. During World War II, You're not old enough to remember, but I was alive and I remember. You couldn't get sugar. You couldn't get it. And so our government and the government in Great Britain were experimenting with stevia as a sugar substitute.
Okay.
Back in the 40s.
Right.
And of course, the war ended. And so our two governments went back to subsidizing sugar cane and sugar beets.
Yep.
Well, Japan was a 100% importer of sugar. They saw stevia as an entirely new industry for them. So they sent scientists and farmers to Paraguay to learn about stevia, to learn how to grow it. And then they began bringing it to Japan and growing it in greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And they immediately started working with it, and as they did their own research, the Japanese Ministry of Health approved it as a sweetener. So by the 70s, it's approved in Japan, and they're using it. Well, it became so popular as a commercial sweetener that they couldn't grow it fast enough. They didn't have enough land area. And so they took it to China. And the Chinese began growing stevia. The Chinese government also saw it as a new industry, a way to make money. And this is when the communist Chinese government began to toy with capitalism. And so the communist government subsidized the farmers and helped them to grow stevia, subsidized industrialists to develop extraction factories in China. Right now, 80% of the world's stevia comes from China. The problem that the government there did, though, they only allowed a family to grow 1/15 of a hectare. That's a tiny amount. So, for instance, the company that produces the stevia that is currently being marketed as Purevia has to deal with 100,000 farming families to get their leaves. Now, can you imagine the problems in ensuring quality? I mean, so anyway, but China produces it. And, of course, they've subsidized many industrialists. So most of the stevia today comes from China. However, they use the old technology of various solvents, chemicals, alcohols, methanol, and ethanol in doing the extraction techniques.
Right.
We're the only company today that has this revolutionary new technique of using nothing but purified water and filtration. These scientists came to me and presented to me in 2007, and then we've developed. And that is the future of stevia. I think in time, all manufacturers will go to it because the quality is so much better, and it's so much more pure and tastes better. So anyway, we get our stevia from farmers in South America, and numerous small farmers are beginning to grow stevia. We've worked with farmers in Colombia who previously grew drug-producing plants. They've switched to stevia, and they can make more money with stevia because, for instance, in Colombia, they can get 6 or 7 harvests a year because of the climate, the temperature. And so they're making more money, and as they say, their families are now safe. They don't have to fear the drug cartels.
Now, that's a very, very sweet story, Jim.
Yes, it is. And I've believed since 1982 that stevia is the answer to helping to reduce the drug problem by giving these poor farmers a safe crop to grow that is in demand. And I fought the FDA for years. They were not allowing stevia in the United States that would have helped reduce the drug problem.
You know, I was always liked the concept of stevia, and I never really pursued it that much, but you have really turned, I'm turning over a new leaf. I am really going to push stevia on my circle.
Please do. Stevia can change the world. It can make life better for everybody from the farmer to the consumer. Imagine now, stevia is the one sweetener that can and should be used by all diabetics. It will not harmfully affect them in any way. In its raw forms.
Do you think it can grow in Afghanistan?
I don't know why it could not. It would have to have water sprinkling and or drip irrigation. But,
right.
Yeah, I think our government should go in, pay the farmers for all of their poppies, burn the field,
right.
And then teach them how to grow stevia.
Grow stevia.
Absolutely. The world is turning to stevia. And it is the future sweetener.
Boy, that's beautiful. I'm all worked up now.
Well, let's hope your listeners get worked up. And
yeah, really.
They'll buy stevia at the store. Hopefully it'll be my Sweetleaf brand, so that we can continue to work with the farmers and help them to grow stevia.
Speaking of the listeners, if anyone has a question, you can send me an email right now at info@realmeals.org, or you can call in at 1-888-874-4888, and in the remaining time of the show, you can get in a question. Okay, so you can pretty much do anything with sweet leaf. I know people bake with it, and this is a great thing, especially for diabetics.
Absolutely. Even in its tabletop sweetener form, which we have in our packets and so forth, it will not in any way adversely affect diabetics. It just won't affect them, their blood sugar or blood pressure. In its raw leaf forms and its this concentrate, it really helps correct pancreatic problems. Stevia leaves contain most of the nutrients that have now been proven scientifically to be required by the pancreas for correct pancreatic function. So stevia is something that people just ought to add to their diet. You know,
right.
You can take the leaves, you can crumble them, or even our tea bags, which are very finely crushed. I take them and open them up and just sprinkle them over salads or in soups or in anything you can think of. It's just good for you. And it gives them a wonderful flavor.
Now, you also, it says in your bio, you are responsible for bringing yerba mate to the United States.
Yes, that's correct.
And are you involved at all in selling yerba mate?
Oh, yes, we sell yerba mate and a product we call yerba mate royale, which means that has stevia leaf in it. I've been selling that since 1982. It's under our brand, Wisdom of the Ancients. We don't sell it in a liquid form because I really think people need the herbs themselves. They're far
in the leaves.
The leaves are the way you need to use it. Of course, they're dried and they're crumbled and so forth and prepared, so people can either use it in a tea bag form or in the loose form, as I learned from the Guarani people. We also have it in an instant form where we've already made the tea and then spray dried it so it dissolves instantly in hot water. In fact, that's what I'm drinking right now is the instant form.
I love mate, and I've had it a while. I was introduced to it at some hotel up in Vermont who served it. And
really?
I would get it with soy milk, and I really enjoyed it. And then I started to see it more in the supermarkets, and I was recently in Buenos Aires and very excited to see how it was served in the gourds, and brought a few of those home to drink my mate in.
Did you bring a bombilla to sip it through? The gourd
the
with
straws?
A bombilla? Yeah, the straws?
Yes, I did. And it's lovely. It's lovely to make it almost like a ceremony. I believe that anything we eat should be done with kind of a artistic, beautiful flair, and so I love the idea that this particular tea should be served in these particular containers or cups or gourds or, well, I got a couple that were carved out of wood and then a couple in the gourds with those, what do you call them, the straws?
It's called a bombilla. In
fact,
that's the way I have started my day every day for the last 28 years, sipping Yerba Mate with Stevia in it, our Yerba Mate Royale, through a Bombilla. And I did it originally when I first was introduced to it in 1982 in Paraguay. It's because it absolutely cleared up the horrible allergy that I had suffered with for 35 years before that. And I was on every medicine known to science until that day, and I have not required any now for 28 years. I just drink the yerba mate through the bombilla early in the morning, and it absolutely reverses the effects of the allergies.
Wow.
Gives you mental alertness and physical energy. There have been studies that it improves muscle strength. It improves endurance. Mate is just really good for the human body.
Now, I understand that yerba mate is somewhat of a stimulant, and some of that comes from caffeine, but and some of it comes from maybe some other components.
Most of it from other components. Yerba mate leaves have 250 different nutrients in the leaves. 196 have been identified. We know what they are. There's still others that we really don't know what they are yet.
Right.
But there is a compound in yerba mate that there's some disagreement as to whether or not it's actually caffeine. I don't use caffeine.
Right.
And when I first started studying yerba mate, I read some articles that said it was high in caffeine, some that said it was low in caffeine, some that had zero caffeine. So I went to the director of the National Institute of Technology in Paraguay, comparable to our FDA, and asked him, is there caffeine in yerba mate? And he said, no. He said, we used to think that it is, but we now know that it's slightly different, so we've called it matine. He said, matine has a chemical constituency very, very similar to caffeine, except the molecular binding is different. So you don't have the adverse effects of caffeine. You do get some stimulation, some energy, and so forth, but there are no harmful effects. Now, I used to promote that and advertise it, but then all when mate became popular and all my competitors want to talk about caffeine, then it was too confusing. So I just said, okay, I just took that off. But one of the things, and I've had numerous MDs call me and say, thank you, now there's something my caffeine-sensitive patients can use with no harmful effects. And there just is no caffeine syndrome to using it.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of caffeine, I've heard of caine, and now you're telling me about matine. And it's good to hear that it's...
An interesting thing about yerba mate is it also contains caffeic acid. Caffeic acid is what is used to decaffeinate coffee.
So it
may be that the herb itself reverses the effects of this chemical that's similar to caffeine.
Well, you know, there's lots of mixed information on coffee, and coffee, people talk mostly about caffeine. But what they don't realize is there are so many other organic chemicals in coffee, some of them already known to be known carcinogens.
Right.
And it's really a problematic beverage. And the teas have been given a more positive turn on it because there are so many antioxidants and positive things in tea, but people keep being concerned about the caffeine, the caffeine, the caffeine. But I still continue to enjoy tea and yerba mate, and I'm glad to hear that there isn't caffeine in it.
No, I'm convinced that it is not. I've just had too much experience in the last 20 years. I'm not a chemist, so you know, I'm not doing those things.
I am.
But oh, are you? Okay.
Yes, I am.
But I've had so many MDs say, thank you, my patients can drink this, and they do. I've had people stand at trade shows and drink our yerba mate Royale. I had one guy drink six cups, and then he asked me the caffeine question. I said, why do you ask? He said, well, I'm intensely allergic to it. I can't let caffeine touch my lips. I said, well, you've been drinking mate, and it doesn't have caffeine. So, you know, I told him the story. But anyway, people don't need to worry about it. One interesting thing about mate, though, people who are addicted to coffee can switch to yerba mate, and they will have no withdrawal symptoms from the coffee. And after they get all the coffee stuff out of their system, they don't become addicted to yerba mate, and so they don't have those problems.
Okay, Jim, this is like a too-good-to-be-true kind of program.
Well, yerba mate and stevia are too good to be true, but they really are true. They're just incredible.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think I've had yerba mate with stevia. I usually use a little agave, but I'm going to switch as of today. And one of my favorite drinks is mate chocolate, where I add a little chocolate powder and some soy milk. And I imagine with the stevia, it's a really yummy drink.
Yes, it would be. In fact, I'll be happy to send you some yerba mate royale so you can sip it through your bombilla.
Okay. Well,
maybe after you go off, you can give me your address. And
I'll do that after the show.
Right.
Thank you very much. Yerba mate, I really love it. Okay, so we just have a few more minutes left, and you're really a very special individual.
Well, thank you.
And so you've introduced a number of wonderful products into the country, but you've also done some other great work for the good of mankind. Where does all this inspiration come from? What motivates you?
I guess just helping people. In 1966, some MD friends came to me, and they wanted me to get involved with them and help them introduce the dialysis and kidney transplant program. Transplantation came later. So anyway, I was one of the founders of the dialysis program in Arizona, and got involved with that and helped develop that, not the medical procedure, but the ability of the doctors to be able to take care of the patients and to develop dialysis centers and so forth. And so I did that for 15 years. And in those days, dialysis was just so hard on the patients, and nobody got better. And, you know, you just watch it and weep, really. And then I was introduced to these herbs, and I saw them healing people. We haven't got into the conditions that yerba mate and stevia will actually heal in human beings, but I saw it. I had doctors call me and say, what are these herbs you gave my patients? I've been trying to cure them for years, and in 30 days, these herbs, they're well. And it just became so exciting to really be doing something that benefited people, made them healthier and happier, gave them energy and vitality. And so that's what motivated me.
That's pretty good. And you've also been involved in organ transplants.
Yes, I was. Well, because I was involved in the artificial organs program in Arizona, Good Samaritan Hospital and the Arizona Kidney Foundation, I was involved in helping develop that transplant program administratively.
Mm-hmm.
So I was involved in that from the very beginning for kidney transplants.
And so right now, are you mostly working with the stevia and yerba mate products? Do you have any other secret magic potions that you're going to bring to us?
We have several products, yes. We have this one I mentioned, Symfree, Symptom Free, which is so good for colds and flu. Of course, we're not allowed to tell people that, but the FDA does not allow anyone who sells food or herbs or beverages to inform the consuming public as to their health benefits. So I can't do that, but we have numerous herbal products that we sell under the Wisdom of the Ancients brand name that are just
so we could
good.
Find them in any health store pretty much.
Mostly, or they can go on our website and buy them. I have really been working with stevia for the last several years because I thought it was the product that needed to be in the United States and the world. So we have focused on that and really haven't done a lot with the herbs. We do have them. We market them as whole herbs, not as making liquid drinks out of them, just so people can do it themselves and get the really full benefits
Can you talk a little more about how it's good for the skin? Because I really wasn't familiar with that.
Well, it's the stevia concentrate that's just where you cook the leaves. Women who know about it will use it as a facial mask. They'll just take this thick, dark liquid, you rub it over your face, leave it on for 30 to 60 minutes, and they will feel the skin tightening. The skin will just tighten. It will help with, it will diminish wrinkles. It will soften the skin from the first use. It will, over time, repeated uses, it really heals facial blemishes and problems. You can put it, teenagers could dab their acne outbreaks with it. It will help dry them and heal them. People have lip sores. You can put the concentrate on the sore. And, of course, many of them are caused by a virus that gets into the lip. Well, the lip will absorb the stevia concentrate, the dark liquid, and the virus will eat it and die.
Wow.
Stevia kills many viruses and harmful bacteria, so it will heal much faster. Any cut that I've had on my body for the last 28 years is this concentrate. Just put it in. It stings like iodine for about 45 seconds, and then anesthetizes the wound. It seals it closed. It sterilizes it. Those bacteria eat the glycosides and die. And it will heal from the inside up instead of outside down. In about a third of the time, there'll never be a scar.
Now, what is this product called? It's a dark liquid. What do you call it?
It's the liquid. Well, it's stevia concentrate. You know, obviously, I prefer our brand, but there are others.
Most of the people
do the extraction with alcohol, and that's not
right. We don't like that. Yeah. What's your brand called?
Wisdom of the Ancients.
Oh, right.
And,
you've mentioned
and
that.
Sweet
Wisdom
leaf.
Of the Ancients.
And sweet leaf.
I'm definitely going to run out and try that.
You'd be surprised. It's just incredibly healing.
Yeah. Well, I really believe that all the secrets for a long and happy, healthy life are out there in nature. And even though I have a background in chemical engineering, I really believe it's all been created and we don't have to really synthesize anything.
I agree with you. I have come to firmly believe and understand that God created the cure for everything.
Yeah, it's all there.
We just need to have the good sense to learn how to use it.
Find it, and before we destroy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jim, it's been really delightful talking today. I've learned so much. I'm very inspired. I am going to run to the health food store in a little while. And I'm going to now enjoy my yerba mate chocolate with stevia.
Great. Well, I've been delighted
to
be with you on your radio program. I'd like to do it again anytime that you...
Yes. I would like to hear more stories. So please go to sweetleaf.com and learn more about Jim May's wonderful products. Thanks for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you've been listening to It's All About Food. Be back next week. Have a delicious week. Bye-bye.